Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say this: Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God the Father, which is your spiritual service of worship. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but keep on being transformed by God through the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God the Father is. And the will of God the Father is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So welcome to a place where you can renew your mind. And as God prepares your soul for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is I Am Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Show us the beauty of tribulation, the tribulations that you put us through. Show us the beauty of the peace of God. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study from Romans chapter 5, the peace of God surpasses comprehension. The peace of God surpasses comprehension. Well, in the face of tribulation, God always gives us a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is as is common to man. No temptation has overtaken you, but the humankind." And God the Father is faithful. He always does the same thing. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. Our way of escape is the peace of God. Our way of escape is the peace of God. And in this lesson, we will learn the difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God, both of which can comfort us in times of tribulation. But first, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is next week, October 12, 2014. Mark your calendars. There's no face-to-face teaching October 19th. The wedding. Your pastor's getting married. Isn't that awesome? But lessons will be provided online, and I actually will provide an opportunity for the resident congregation to attend the recording. So I think that's going to be on Wednesday night. The 15th, Denny, so you might want to put that in your calendar and let me know if that works for you. Mark your calendars, no face-to-face teaching November 16th, December 7th, December 28th. So those are some dates to mark in your calendars. And again, lessons will be provided online. The next conversational Bible study for the resident congregation, October 29th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The next conversational Bible study for the non-resident congregation, November 5th. We had our first this past week on Wednesday, and it went really, really well. We had a couple of technical glitches with some microphones, but other than that, it went very, very well. And Denny, thanks for calling and asking if you could help out on that. I neglected to call you back, but I really appreciate you thinking of us. Like Barah Ministries on Facebook. We're building quite an online community, and we're looking forward to the week of November 3rd when we get our new audio and video equipment so that we can start recording things to really change the nature of our Facebook page. Right now, nearly 2,200 people have joined us on Facebook, and I'd like you to encourage your friends to like us on Facebook today. Our next visit to the vets is next week, October 12th at 1:45 p.m. June, I want to create a series of songs that you can sing in advance. I want to create this list in advance and then make sure we have a speaker there, and then you just go through the songs. So I want you to probably sing about 7 songs. So really think about what it is that the vets have been asking us to sing and incorporate that, but also incorporate some of your songs. Because I think they like a nice mix of standard things and of your things. 7 to 10 songs, I would say. So we'll have a little June concert over with the vets. They love that. Now, as far as the offering goes, because we're online today, we will not be taking an offering, mainly because there's no one here to give an offering except Denny and June. I'll take those. You can just put them right here in my coat pocket. But feel free to send your offering on your own, and you know, I want you to know how encouraging it is when we get your offerings and how much we really appreciate it. Encouraging especially to me, because every time one of your contributions comes in, I know that I get to keep on teaching, and it's all because of you. Paul said it well, and he speaks for me. In Philippians 4:17, it is not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. When you give, God makes sure you're compensated for it. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, says, give and it will be given to you. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So please don't ever think that when you're making a contribution, you're giving anything away, because God will always give it back to you in return. I saw a situation where somebody gave $27,000 in one check to Barah Ministries. And 2 weeks later, that person had a $28,000 scholarship to a college. That's the way God works. And those are the things that I get to see that I don't always say to you. But it's just funny to me how what you're doing when you give is you're redirecting assets that have already been given to you by God into the church. And then you get to watch how he compensates you back for that. So thank you, as always, for your generosity. Today's study in Romans chapter 5, the peace of God surpasses comprehension. The peace of God surpasses comprehension. Now, we're studying Romans chapter 5, the first five verses, and we're taking a look at two subjects, the peace of God and tribulation. So let's remind ourselves of what these verses have to say. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore keep on having peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. With God, we have a past, which is an established fact. We're justified, we have God's righteousness, and we have the peace of God. God has nothing against us. Romans 5:2, and through our union with Christ also, we have obtained our direct access to a person of privileged rank, God the Father, who placed us into this sphere of grace in which we presently stand. And through our union with Christ also, we keep on exulting in the hope of the glory of God. With God, we also have a future, not just a past and a present, but a future. We have absolute confidence that we will experience personally the glory of God. And we are being conformed by God into the image of his Son. If you, believers in Christ, think that there is something wrong with you, please relax, because God has you covered. Romans 5:3. And we not only exult in these things, our past, the righteousness and justification, our present, the sphere of peace, our future glory, but we also keep on being exalted by God the Father in our tribulations that are given to us by God the Father, knowing the tribulation brings about perseverance. God is shaping us with perseverance, with tribulation. God is giving us, excuse me, hang on 1 second. Giving me her cold already. That's awesome. I must have shaken her hand, and now I'm sneezing like a crazy man. God is shaping us with tribulation. Romans chapter 5, verse 4, and perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope. So if you have any character whatsoever, you can thank God for it, because it came from him. And Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint, because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father. Now, I said something in last week's lesson, and as I listened to it again, it was so important, I think it bears repeating. The Lord considers it important to allow you to experience pressure to give you the chance to see the power of your faith in action. We often call the tribulation we experience testing, and we'll say, I think the Lord is testing me, as if the Lord is trying to see if you have any faith. But you have to remember that the Lord is omniscient. He knows all the knowable. So he knows without testing you if you have faith or not. Testing from the Lord is for you. Testing in the face of tribulation is the means by which the presence, the quality, or the genuineness of anything is determined. And one of the things that is tested in the presence of the peace of God is the presence of the peace of God in your soul. One of the things that is tested is the presence of the peace of God in your soul. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. First, I'll read it to you, and then we'll go back and take a look at it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Now, Philippians are the favorite church of the Apostle Paul. They were one of the only churches. They were probably the only church that supported him financially. They had a very wealthy woman in the church by the name of Lydia, and she harvested earthworms and crushed them, and the blood of the earthworms let off a purple blood that she turned into dye and made the robes of kings. And she clothed, she took the money from that clothing and supported Paul's church, and in fact started that church in her house. And so he had very little to say to the Philippians because he loved them. And when you have somebody in your life that is cooperating in your life, you really don't have to have much to say to them. So here is Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to go through the first 8 verses. I'll read them to you, and then I'll tell you what they say. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia, and I urge Synecdoche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. All right, so let's see what this really says. Beginning in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, my beloved, that means divinely loved ones. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my divinely loved brethren, brethren, believers in Christ who are loved by God, whom I long to see, Paul wanted to see them face to face. He describes them now, my joy and my crown. In this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Paul references the victor's wreath when he compares the Philippian believers to a crown, demonstrating his deep love for this congregation. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, I urge Euodia, which means prosperous journey. Her name means prosperous journey. And I urge Syntyche, which means, whose name means pleasant acquaintance, to live in harmony in the Lord. They were doing anything but living in harmony in the Lord, and Synecdoche was being anything but a pleasant acquaintance, and certainly there was no prosperous journey with Euodia. Paul is pleading for unity between the two women with a specific mention by name because they were causing dissension in the church. If I were writing a couple of letters about Barah Ministries, it'd probably be 60 chapters long because I'd have to mention way too many names. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, indeed, true companion, he's referencing whoever he's talking to. It was not Timothy. And we need to know that all believers in Christ have their names written in the book of life. And these two women were no exception, but they were not appropriating the peace of God in their lives. And what is it like when we're appropriating the peace of God in our lives? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When we have the peace of God, we're rejoicing in our minds. Part of using the peace of God is rejoicing about everything you have courtesy of the Lord, including the trials and tribulations. Philippians 4:5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. The gentle spirit is the spirit of the one who has unconditional love from God and then demonstrates it. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. In other words, stop worrying about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with a heart filled with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God the Father. See, the perfect counter for worrying, of course, is prayer. And God is asking us to stop worrying and start living, a great book by Dale Carnegie. Do you? Have you stopped worrying and started living? Have you stopped beating yourself up and wondering if God likes you? Have you finally figured out in your soul the meaning of unconditional, that God loves you with no conditions? Because when you do, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will place a garrison around your hearts and your minds, those of you who are in union with Christ Jesus. What is a garrison? It's a military fortification. And when you have the peace of God, you have a military fortification around your mindset so that when tribulation comes, it cannot penetrate and steal your peace. And that's a choice that you can have. Now the motto of Northwestern University. Listen up, Denny, because this is the class of the Big Ten, Northwestern University. And by the way, I think it's on November 1st. I will be invading your home so that I can laugh as Iowa gets soundly trounced by Northwestern, and then I can take that uniform, that Iowa Hawkeyes uniform off of your son, the beautiful William, and put on him the royalty purple. So the motto of Northwestern University is in Philippians 4:8. The Latin for it is quaecumque sunt vera. Quaecumque sunt vera. Here's what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, that's it. Quaecumque sunt vera. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good repute, if there is any excellence, and there is, and if there is anything worthy of praise, and there is, let your minds dwell on these things. What a fantastic motto for a university. If there's anything that's true or excellent, let your mind dwell on these things. Well, when we do that, what's the recommendation here? And this is something that a university came up with in 1851. So what is the recommendation here? Have the peace of God. Exploit the peace of God. Anything that's true, let your mind dwell on anything, on these things. Anything that's excellent, let your mind dwell on these things. Well, what is the difference between peace with God from Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and the peace of God from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Romans 5, 1? Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore keep on having peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's the difference? As a result of the Lord Jesus Christ's saving work at the cross, all of us have peace with God. That means God has nothing against us. This is an established fact in the past, and the result is that this fact stands finished forever. God has nothing against you, believers in Christ. God is not looking down on you. God is not looking to punish you. God is not looking to come down on you. You will always and forevermore have peace with God. And this peace is the kind that might exist between the Hatfields and the McCoys, who are two feuding families from the South who had an intense dislike for each other. And that is me being the master of understatement. Peace is as if two parties who had an intense hatred for each other signed a sincere peace treaty and agreed never to fight again. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ's work opened a door between God and mankind that has taken away the possibility of any barrier ever being between God and man ever again. And we have peace with God. God has nothing against us. So that's the peace with God. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 say it this way. What shall we say then face to face with these things? If God the Father is for us, and he is, who can be successful against us? And the rhetorical answer to that is no one. Well, how do we know that God the Father is for us? You believers in Christ, how do you know if God the Father is for you? You have to reflect on the word of God. Romans 8:32. God the Father, who did not spare his own son, and he certainly could have, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not spare the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivered him over for us all instead of us. How will he not also in our union with Christ freely give us all things? Your life is cared for. You worry about nothing. You look at your life right now and you assume that everything is going exactly the way God wants it to go. That's it. And when you do that, you should have the peace of God, because God will always come through for you. We believers in Christ have peace with God because he no longer has anything against us. But my question for you is, do you also have the peace of God? And let's find out when we come back from a 5-minute break exactly what the difference is. Take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. So believers in Christ have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore keep on having peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question for you is this. If you have the peace with God, what do you do when your soul is troubled? What do you do in the face of tribulation? Now, the peace of God is something that you can choose to take advantage of in times of tribulation. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A discussion we had in a conversational Bible study with the resident congregation prompted this lesson. Will two believers who each have peace with God also have the peace of God? Valid question. Well, maybe they can if they choose it to be so. What are you like when you hear the news or when you read the newspaper? The latest scare in the news is Ebola. And yesterday on a flight home, I jokingly asked another passenger for a sip of his water. He said, I would, but with all I'm reading about Ebola, I better be cautious. Okay, so that's why I don't watch the news. And that's why I don't read newspapers, because you never know when, on the same day, you're going to get Ebola, get carjacked by a black guy in the Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot, and be beheaded by ISIS. And, you know, it dawned on me this morning that that comment was a racist comment, because this Ebola thing started in Africa, right? So he's kind of saying, yeah, you black people all have Ebola. That's not even right. See, because if I had thought about that yesterday, you would have been reading today about an incident between two people on an airplane on the way back from Philadelphia. So listen, and by the way, what that would mean is that I was not using the peace of God, even though I have peace with God. So you can choose to appropriate the peace of God when you rest in the face of your tribulation. What are you going through right now? What is disturbing you? What has got your equilibrium unbalanced? What is it that you think you need that you don't have? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says this, therefore, if we believers in Christ are to fear anything, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. In other words, don't come short of the rest of God. And what is the rest that God gives us? His peace. God, we have peace with God, but we have the peace of God at our disposal. The peace of God that garrisons our heart and our mind, that puts a wall of protection around our heart and our mind. The peace of God is something that you can pick up and use in any moment. And Paul describes it in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Philippians 4:11, he says, not that I, Paul, speak from want, for I have learned, I like that, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Now, was Paul content when he was getting stoned to death? Yes. Was Paul content when he was being beaten scourged with a whip? Yes. Was Paul content when he was in prison? You better believe he was. Most of the letters that he wrote from prison. He absolutely was content. He has learned to be content in whatever circumstances he was in. And most of the time, he was in the circumstance called trial and tribulation. Now, when you choose the peace of God, you're choosing to be content regardless of circumstances, including tribulation. Now, appropriating this peace, as Paul is pointing out, can be learned. Philippians 4:12, I know how to get along with humble means. This is Paul talking. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of being full and having an empty stomach, both of having abundance, having a lot of money, and suffering need, having not enough money. Well, what's the secret to having the peace of God? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who keeps on strengthening me. I can do all things through Christ who keeps on strengthening me. I can do all things through God the Holy Spirit who keeps on pouring his enabling power into me. I can do all things through God the Father who keeps on laying out the path of his plan for me. Well, here's my question for you. Do you experience calmness in the face of anxiety while in the midst of your tribulation? Well, you'd probably have to say no. Well, don't be shocked. Few of us really use the assets we have when it's time to use them. Worry, anxiety, drama, and freaking out are easier choices than trusting God and his word through faith in times of trouble. And that's one of the things that I've always noticed about arguing with people. When you get in an argument with people, I think, or when you call somebody on something, that's a better way to say it. Somebody's done something that bothers you, and you call them on it. I think people think their only possible response is to get defensive. Oh, see, well, what happened was, let me explain why it was okay that I did that thing that hurt you. Okay, that's one way to respond. Another way to respond is with the peace of God, to just say, thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you for telling me that. You know what? I don't have to react to what you're saying. I can just hear what you're saying, acknowledge it, and change what I'm doing. You know, there are a lot more responses that you can have than being defensive, than pouring kerosene. You know, most of the people that I've had in my life over the course of time couldn't fight, couldn't argue. So when you call them on something, you have an agreement, they break the agreement, they know they broke the agreement, you call them on it, and what do? They start picking up things and throwing them at you. They throw the kitchen sink at you, they cross-complain. Hey, you know, I really don't like it that you were late for this thing. Well, you were late once. We're all late, so therefore your complaint is invalid. Cross-complain is one of my least favorite tools, or the kitchen sink. Here's what you did 2 weeks ago. Here's what you did 3 months ago. Here's what you did a year ago. Is that enough to negate the complaint that you've just made? All stupid ways of handling interactions with human beings that you say you care about. If somebody has a valid irritation with you, hear it, entertain it, and change what you're doing if you value them. Don't get into a big brouhaha about who's right and who's wrong and who's to blame. I always love it listening to couples fight and they're trying to blame the other person. There's only two people to blame in any relationship, and that's the two people that are in it. And it's both of their faults all the time. But if it's only one of their faults, who cares really? What's the point that you're trying to get at? I'm right and you're wrong, so therefore I'm superior to you? Is that, do you like people who treat you that way? I'm right, I know it, and now I'm shoving it down your throat? Is that what you think is going to promote harmony and unity? It really doesn't. So it's kind of funny. So if you want to experience calmness in the face of anxiety, you've got to determine that worry, anxiety, drama, and freaking out, while they may be easier choices in your mind, are not the best choices for harmony and unity, but instead, trust God and His Word through faith in times of trouble. In times of tribulation, we believers in Christ must remind ourselves that we live in a sphere of grace. We live in the geodesic dome of grace given to us by God the Father. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what it says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, that's the forgetting of our past indiscretions, has caused us believers in Christ to be born again, the spiritual birth, to a living hope, to a living absolute confidence, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We believers in Christ absolutely know that we're in union with Christ, and because He was resurrected from the dead, we will be too. 1 Peter 1, 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. You have a mansion reserved for you in heaven, waiting for you to come to heaven, your residence for all eternity. When we use Scripture to remind ourselves who we really are during tribulation, we can use the peace of God. See, experience is not the key, and circumstance certainly is not the key. You know, what is the key is you using what God tells you in the times of tribulation to calm your soul. 1 Peter 1, 5, you believers in Christ, who are protected by the power of God, omnipotence, you are protected by omnipotence, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a reminder to you, believers in Christ, that you can use the power of God as the peace of God in your soul. 1 Peter 1, 6. In this protection, in this truth, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You've heard June sing that. So 1 Peter 1:7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, when you choose to use the peace of God during trials, you prove your faith. 1 Peter 1:8, and though you have not seen Jesus Christ, you love him. And though you do not see Jesus Christ now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. See, our joy is not a product of our circumstances, and our joy is certainly not a product of our experiences. Our joy is a product of our mindset, the peace of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says this, set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. When I'm experiencing persecution from a particular individual, I just start thinking about God. Begin thinking of such a person, Jesus Christ, who has endured such opposition by sinners unto himself, so that you may not grow weary, fainting in your souls. So when we set our mind on God and his word in the face of tribulation, and not on our circumstances, not on our experiences, even though our circumstances and experiences at the time may be bleak, we have the peace of God. Look at James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. Here's what it says. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Count it all joy. We don't need you. Oh, more diaphragm? Okay, here we go. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Yeah, it's been a long time. You know, I used to be really good at singing when I was in Glee Club, but the days are over. I think God just took my voice so that you'd have a place in Barah Ministries. He wanted me to do the pastorate. You to do the singing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. James 1, 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. James 1, 4. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When you have the peace of God, you lack in nothing. When you have the peace of God, you have a garrison around your heart and mind, and you lack in nothing. You know what? I'm thinking about my boy Job. Let's go turn to Job real quick, chapter 1. See, this is a guy who has absolute joy. Job chapter 1. See, God says to Satan in Job chapter 1, verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that Job has is in your power, but don't put forth your hand on him. Don't kill him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And then he killed all his animals. He killed his family. He tore up his house. He tore up all his possessions and the whole bit. And in Job 1:21, what did Job say? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. There it is, the peace of God. The peace of God. We have peace with God, but that's the peace of God in the face of tremendous circumstances, appropriating God's peace by realizing that there is a garrison around your soul. What a great description of the peace of God in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And then in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, once he gets through the trial, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so that's what I look forward to. I look forward to the crown of life, which the Lord will give to all those who love him. See, God always provides the way of escape for suffering. And what is the way of escape? It's the peace of God. So remember, it is an established fact that each of us believers in Christ have peace with God. In times of tribulation, you get to choose whether or not you use the peace of God, which is you counting on God and his word about your circumstances and your experience. So the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. Exodus 14:13, do not fear. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. The closing song, You Own Me.
So I could be your bride. You owe me to your deity. You add human life. You're fully God, fully man. You are the sovereign great I am. You're my redeemer and friend. I am no longer enslaved to sin, and you owe me. You owe me. My life belongs to you, and you alone. You owe me. You are my safe seat on the throne. You are my master and Lord. You make my life worth living for. For my life you have a plan. Your slave to righteousness I am. And you own me. And laid down your life for me. In eternity past, you made the choice to die twice on the tree. And in those 3 hours of darkness, you paid the ultimate price. Then you said,
Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.